Today, Vice President Mike Pence leads the first public White House coronavirus task force meeting in nearly 2 months as the number of COVID-19 cases surges across the country to record numbers.
Texas and Florida announced today that bars in those states will shut back down immediately because of the spikes. And polls show a majority of the American public disapproves of how President Trump is handling the pandemic response, as well as protests calling for police reform. Let's get to the Friday Politics Roundtable with Kimberly Atkins, Washington correspondent for WBUR, and NPR's White House reporter Aisha Roscoe. Welcome to both of you. And Kimberly, let me start with you. President Trump is not leading the task force meeting today. His message has been that the coronavirus is under control. Clearly, it is not in many parts of the country. Do you expect a change of course from the White House?
Well, you know, the message from the president has been the message that the vice president has been sharing as well. He himself has been playing down the idea that this is a problem, saying that the increase in numbers is really a result of an increase of testing, something that doctors and other officials are saying is not true. So there is that pressure from the top, from the president, to really downplay this, especially as they move closer to the election season. The president wants to campaign. He wants to get out. And meet with his supporters, and also paint this picture that everything is under control, even though the CDC this week indicated that that is not the case. Not only are these cases rising, but that it's more dangerous to certain populations, including pregnant women. So it's a balancing act that this administration is doing. But the numbers coming out of states like Florida and like Texas makes it very, very difficult to make that case.
We spoke today with the governor of Colorado, who says that we're going to be living in a world of testing and tracing and mask wearing until there is a vaccine or a cure. The president said that there will be a vaccine by the end of the year. And he said in a Fox News town hall that testing has caused the spiking cases, as you said. In a speech on health care, Trump's opponent, Joe Biden, accused Trump of self-pity in the pandemic. Listen.
He's like a child who can't believe this has happened to him. All his whining and self-pity. Well, this pandemic didn't happen to him. It happened to all of us. And his job isn't to whine about it. His job is to do something about it, to lead.
Aisha, there were a number of polls out this week showing Trump losing a lot of support and losing against Biden in national polls and key states. How worried is the president?
Well, I think that, you know, publicly what you hear from the campaign and what you will hear from the White House is that they don't put much stock in these polls. But these polls are showing serious, I mean, this would give pause to any campaign. This is, especially when you look at those state polls, critical states that he needs to win, and some of them showing very large margins. I think that some of the states where they're showing more, you know, some of the polls showing kind of neck and neck, that's something where I think that they will kind of write off a little bit because they feel like, you know, it's within the margin of error for the polls, and that's kind of more standard. But some of these polls, when they're showing, you know, Biden with an 8-point lead or, you know, bigger than that, that has to be concerning. And a real question for the president right now is, how does he turn this around? I mean, we have to say it is still very early. So there's still a lot of time and a lot of things can happen. But this is not the place where I think you want to be, especially as the incumbent president trying to lead a country through a pandemic. To have this sort of response to your leadership is not ideal, especially when the pandemic is not going anywhere.
Kimberly, one of the reasons the president might be struggling is because he seems to be struggling to say what his vision is. Here he is from that town hall last night with Fox News. Host Sean Hannity asked Trump what his priorities are for a second term.
Well, one of the things that will be really great. You know, the word experience is still good. I always say talent is more important than experience. I've always said that. But the word experience is a very important word. It's in a very important meaning. I never did this before. I never slept over in Washington. I was in Washington, I think, 17 times. All of a sudden, I'm president of the United States. You know the story. I'm riding down Pennsylvania Avenue with our first lady, and I say, this is great. But I didn't know very many people in Washington. It wasn't my thing. I was from Manhattan.
Kimberly, he came up with nothing concrete about his plans for a second term. It wasn't a difficult question.
No, that was a question that most candidates would jump at the chance to answer and lay out the vision of what a second term would be. And President Trump declined to do that. He went on to talk about John Bolton just wanting to drop bombs and all of these other things. He sort of went back into his campaign of grievances against his political enemies. And part of that speaks to the fact that at this point, the campaign slogan was supposed to be keep America great. The campaign thought that they would be focusing on a very strong economy and moving that forward, but they don't have that. That's been eliminated by the pandemic, so that there's very little to campaign on. And so they're campaigning in a very – the president is campaigning in a very negative way, really painting political enemies, painting Democrats. He's reverted to the immigration tropes about people from south of the border and otherwise. And so it's a really it's a campaign without a vision at this point. At the same time, and that gives Joe Biden, of course, a big opportunity, right, to really paint out a vision of an America that looks very different than the current one.
Aisha, another big story this week. Oh, go ahead. Do you want to say something?
Oh, well, yeah. One other thing that stood out to me from that town hall last night is President Trump was asked about, you know, his biggest accomplishments. And he, you know, he talked about, you know, stuff that he had done for veterans, other issues. But what stood out to me from that is that at this point, because of the coronavirus, that's going to be the defining moment of his presidency. So his greatest accomplishment will ultimately ride on how he responds to this. And I think that this presidency and this White House, I don't know that they have fully grasped that at this point, all your other accomplishments will be dwarfed by what you do in this moment.
Aisha, I want to stay with you for just a minute here. Let's talk about police reform. The House and the Senate took up bills this week. They didn't get very far. And after all the outrage in this country, both sides say there is need for reform. Why has this stalled?
It seems like basically at this point, you have two sides who have two very different ideas of how police reform should be carried out. You have the Republicans, Senate Republicans, who have put forward a plan that is more about incentivizing action. The goal is they don't want to try to force or mandate certain things, you know, like banning chokeholds and things of that nature. What they want to do is just try to incentivize and try to kind of, it's kind of like a carrot approach. Like, you know, this is what you can get if you follow these standards. And this idea that it should be done more on a local level, these are decisions that should be made at a local level. Whereas Democrats are saying that they are calling for actual mandates. They want, they're calling for banning chokeholds at the federal level, which is what they control. And that is what, and they also want to have, you know, to deal with qualified immunity, to make it easier to get civil penalties and criminal penalties against police officers. And so it's really a different vision for the way that this would be carried out. And I also think that it's an election year. And I think it's going to be very hard for these two sides to come together at this moment.
This morning, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was asked why not negotiate with Senate Republicans and reach a compromise.
We always have a responsibility to reach across the aisle. But instead of a handshake, you get a slap in the face, then you say you better go back to the drawing board. And that's what they better do.
Now, Kimberly, as you look at the timing here, we've got the political conventions coming up at the end of August. And between then, there's a huge gap where Congress is going to be out of Washington. Do you think that the Democrats are looking at the polls and saying, why don't we just wait until after the election, hope that we win big, and then we can pass the reform bill that we actually want?
I think that might be part of it. I think right now they believe that they have the stronger argument with the vast majority of Americans backing the Black Lives Matter movement. They think that stronger action and proposing stronger action is the way to go at this point. And if Republicans aren't getting on their plan, that may in itself backfire on Republicans. And they're looking at the polls. And in these several Senate races in particular, Democrats need three or four seats, depending on the mm-hmm. outcome of the presidential election, to win back the Senate. There are at least five of these seats that are very competitive. So, yeah, a lot is at stake. A lot of these lawmakers are going home having to deal with these dual crises that the country is facing, the racial inequities in the criminal justice system and the pandemic. And so I think the Democrats in this instance think that the polling and public sentiment is on their side.
Okay, well, we have a lot, obviously, to watch in the coming weeks. No more time on today's roundtable. And what we do know is that President Trump is not going to be heading up to Bedminster, New Jersey this weekend, which he was planning to do. Could be because he just came back from Arizona, a state with a COVID spike, and New Jersey wants people to quarantine if they do that. Kimberly Atkins, Washington correspondent for WBUR, and Aisha Roscoe, NPR White House reporter. Thanks to both of you, and have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.